really not tune it yesterday.
Because it's nightcap at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny in how you, cool, it's funny in how you work cons that like great. That. It's like, oh, okay, if I scoot in this, then I'm going to do this.
I wanted to do it, but it was like, but I've never seen anything really
I just hear the
pretty boys.
Yeah. And you're here.
That's, we got to wash the pretty boys out.
sorry about that.
We want to welcome you guys to Neat Coffee versus the Universe. Just by a straw poll, how many people were here last year for the Neat Coffee Doctor Who Torchwood panels?
Excellent. Oh, brilliant.
So you know what to expect. How many of you guys did not bring sharp objects?
Make sure the weapons are peace tied?
Yes. And how many here are familiar with NeatCoffee.com?
Raise those higher.
Okay.
Raise higher.
NeatCoffee.com is kind of your one stop for popular culture, entertainment, news, and as we like to call it on this panel, criticism.
Criticism.
Yay!
That's a polite term.
Oh, thank God, there's somebody else.
Yeah.
That is also a euphemism.
Is that Major Trek from the Marriott to here?
That's why I have a bike.
I'm going to jack one of those Segways.
So, thank you guys for coming. We're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about Torchwood and Doctor Who and Sarah Jane.
So, in the fine tradition of Torchwood, it's a threesome.
And there may be spoilers for the upcoming season, so by all means, if you are allergic to such things, run. Carol?
Give me a second.
Okay.
Which season are you referring to?
The mini season coming. Hold on.
Oh, that works.
Hold on, Carol.
Yes.
Round two, there could be spoilers.
Well, I can pull it up for you behind you.
I'm counting the shadows.
I'll do it like this.
Sit down.
There are
14.
Spoiler.
Stay out of each other's shadows.
Are we seeing ourselves? Is that what we're doing?
Sure. To the left, way over there, we are bookended here on this panel by beautiful women in the fine tradition of Neat Coffee. This is Rox.
Rox of Spaz House, artist in residence for Neat Coffee.
This is also Mr. Tupley, who co-edits the music forum on neatcoffee.com with me.
And occasionally writes something.
Yeah.
and
Desk builder.
Somebody listens to the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
God help you.
I listen to it like 5 days straight when they come out.
Well, we have a podcast that we do called Weekend Justice that you can go to the Neat Coffee website. You can listen to it.
But it's Dadaism.
Man,
it's better to work.
It's pretty crazy. This is Scott C. from the Mean Streets of Florida. So say hello to Scott.
Yeah, I am the producer of BuddyBooks.com. So I'll probably be talking most about Torchwood.
And then that's Carol down there. You all see her, the first lady of punk here at Brit Track.
I'm also my studio name on NewCoffee.com is Bob the Zombie, and all of the adverse video reviews. So all the bad deed movie reviews, that's me. Yay, potentially bad deed movie reviews.
So you guys are the audience. We'll let you sort of drive this until you beat us. Do you want the good, do you want the bad, or do you want the ugly first?
Okay.
All right, Torchwood, season
two. Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, you're masochists, and we love you all.
I know from my standpoint, and again, we can kind of all broach the subject. Torchwood 2, for me, for season 2, seemed a little uneven in the flowing. I mean, it did have some really great stories. First, who the hell is calling it? Fragments, for example, was great.
Yeah.
The background one, yes. And then also To the Last Man was my personal favorite.
Yes.
Because Torchwood 1918 is just badass.
Oh.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
Lesbian Torchwood.
Yes.
And I didn't really, you know, it was just kind of really choppy and kind of uneven. And we'll talk about this a little more as the panel goes on. They kind of didn't really use Martha as well as they could have.
Although I really did like Reset.
And then the whole, you know, okay, you're going to be dead for three stories and then die. Was kind of like, so
the death, the undeath, and the redeath.
Yeah, so that's my nuts and bolts of it. For
Genesis 3 something.
Yeah.
I had to make sure he was not going to
come back. So Scott, you are a Torchwood person. Would you like to comment upon the second season?
Go for it.
Okay,
come on.
Else.
Don't be afraid.
Let's see.
Let it flow.
I think the big event that they put up, having Martha do a crossover, was handled badly. I don't think she was used well at all in that series, those three episodes.
No, she could have had sex with John, you know? They could have gone that route.
They kind of established the ooh factor for her. It's more like, no, we've been through too much. I'm not going to sleep with you.
Yeah,
since when has engagement ever been a problem for anyone at Torchwood?
No, I am.
Engagement's not it. It's the whole, I've been through too much with you. I'm not going to go there.
This is the kinder, gentler Torchwood this season. They didn't shag anyone on screen. So that was, well, yes, but kinder, gentler.
But it was a little uneven, I think.
I would say off their meds is a kind term.
I mean, it started off really well with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah. It set the tone. It was better in tone, and it felt more in tone with New Who than it did last year, where they were trying to go, oh, we're adults. So that always worked better.
And then, although the scenes with Captain Jack on Tatooine were just stunning.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Duran Duran video.
Now, Was To the Last Man the second one?
Sleeper. It was third.
Sleeper was kind of.
Sleeper started out brilliantly, and it was a brilliant concept. It just crashed.
And they never did anything with her the rest of the season.
And she was really annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, they had this actually interesting enemy, and they haven't done squat with it since.
They will.
But it started off really well. The concept was really well, but then it just sort of crashed and burned. In the way that Torchwood does. So well.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering, this season coming up is going to be 5 episodes. It's going to be called Children of Earth, and I'm wondering if the sleeper cell is somehow going to be like the big plot thing, because Russell hasn't tied that up yet.
No, he hasn't. And what is he writing, 3 of them?
Yeah.
He's writing 3 of them.
Yes. He's writing the first one, the one in the middle, and then the end one.
And isn't Morgan writing one of the parts, too?
He might be. Which means we'll see Rose Tyler.
But,
do you guys have any thoughts on the season?
I agree that it was really uneven. I mean, it's like they're still trying to find their feet, you know, to find some sort of footing.
Is it a procedural?
You're right that it seemed kinder, gentler, and it's it was like kind of too campy.
It's gotten where John's starting to mug for the camera.
Exactly. It's like, huh.
Which, you know, and I'm different in that, you know, it started off really weird with Owen, like the kinder, gentler Owen.
That
was just weird.
Well, trauma will do that to you.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like he was going to Target or something.
Okay, first of all, did anyone not figure out at the very first episode when we get kinder, gentler Owen that something really horrible was going to happen to him for the next 5 episodes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, too, is that we...
Of course, when they finally got the date, you knew, oh, shit, something bad's going to happen.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of interesting. And meat, I thought...
Oh, no!
Meat was kind of weird.
They needed to put a warning on meat. Do not eat while you are trying to watch this episode. I tried it. I had to make a run.
What they should have done with meat is that instead of the scientist guy that was behind it, it should have been the Burger King. That would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We're still blaming y'all for that.
You unleashed the Burger King.
I was actually thinking Tom Corbell.
This is Tom Corbell. Come and get off, back at
the meat.
The thing that amazes me about Torchwood is that we touched upon this last year at our Hate Fest, but for a secret organization, they're not very secret.
No!
From the first episode.
Yes.
Torchwood.
That old lady at the crosswalk.
That's what I said.
Yeah. It's like, God.
Oh, no, it's a great scene, but.
Yeah.
They ain't secretive.
No.
You know, it's funny, and it felt like at first, the first couple of times you saw the name on Torchwood written on the van, it kind of felt like a homage to the unit where it said, oh, this is his top secret organization on big letters on the sign. But then it starts getting old where it goes, oh, Torchwood. Oh, rubbish.
Yeah, we talked about this as Time Gate a little bit, but to me it was very reminiscent of the A-Team. Because they have a van and they drive around and everyone knows it and they're a secret government agency and you know there's a very fine line between George Papard and Don Drummond. I'm getting to that. And then you know the other thing too I think that is kind of scary is that you know Vern Gorman and face are very similar. They both kind of have that very physical comedy face kind of thing going on.
Also an undead sort of thing.
Yeah, the undead thing. And the thing that I think, too, is you know, we saw Torchwood 1918 this year, which is more cool than the regular Torchwood.
Never show our Torchwood that's actually cooler than the bunch we're supposed to be following.
And then the other Torchwood that we meet, the Victorian Torchwood,
they were pretty cool, too.
And then, you know, my personal favorite, though, is Torchwood 1978, where they have the dog and the van, and they have wacky adventures with Scooby and Shaggy.
With Don Knotts.
With Don Knotts.
You said that, you missed it, and I was singing a song. Yeah.
Okay, so
though Scrappy was still lame.
So what did we like about Torchwood? I mean, I know we spent tons of time on the Neat Coffee podcasts.
John Barrowman didn't have a shirt on. Yeah, walking into that office.
With the exception of Scott.
How do you solve a problem named Barrowman? I actually thought, and the only Torchwood episode I didn't have a single complaint about was Reset. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Reset was really good.
What did you like about Two Lost Men?
That it was a Tosh episode.
Well, she never.
The one Tosh episode that was.
And then they.
You're saying it was a Tosh up.
Yeah.
They had to do that because they were going to do something nasty to her at the end of the season.
You
had
to like
think about it.
More.
Yes, but she's the obvious pick to have something horrible happen. She only gets two episodes a year.
She was so much of a better character than they could.
But I think that's the problem. Yeah. I think it's not just uneven with the plot, it's uneven with the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing about Reset that just drove me nuts was the scene where Gwen is in the hospital and she sees this guy with one leg. He's not doing anything weird, he's not glowing or anything, it's just a guy with one leg. And she's like freaking out, but she's been in torture for about a year. This should not be like causing her to panic.
Especially at the countryside.
She's seen a lot worse. But it's like, what, huh? It's like, I mean, that's part of the problem I have is when they think they have to do something, they just change their mind. It's about the character. What?
You missed that? Some guy.
Important.
That was some guy dressed up like Chef Boyardee. It was fucking brilliant.
It was brilliant.
We're doing a panel.
I know, but it was distracting.
Stop it. We were talking earlier about the episode with the missing people episode. What was the title of that? Do you remember?
Adrift.
That really good CSI episode?
It's true.
Miami?
I really loved it. And I
there
loved
were no
last
shades
episode.
In that.
The first in that, and then the last episode, probably by far were my favorite out of the entire season. The first episode, only because of the speech by the fish dude, and then John Barrowman showing up and shooting the gun because Yanto couldn't do it. Even I think he could.
Is that a euphemism?
Yes.
of course.
That's a little literal translation of that one.
Uh-huh.
But the last episode, I think the drift in that, the last episode made me cry. I was just, I had tissue boxes.
I cried for different reasons.
Why didn't we
get to see Owen vaporized? I think.
I kind of am more bummed out to see Owen leave than Tosh. Because I think when they had Angry Owen,
that
dynamic of like having a character that is just a blunt force object
that
was always at odds with everyone actually made the show a little more interesting.
That was interesting. That was one of my.
It lost a lot of.
One of the more interesting episodes was the one where he's sitting on the roof with the woman.
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing all the stuff he's gone. You know, he's going through all the emotional.
Yeah.
you know.
Plus he's dead.
But he's dead, yeah, but.
I just want to see more of his girlfriend from the last season, but I guess that ain't going to happen.
No.
But I think after 2 years of solid pain with that character, I think some of us who didn't like Owen deserve to see him vaporized.
Yeah.
We didn't see a body.
No, we didn't. His backstory was the only one that I absolutely hated. Yeah. I absolutely hated his backstory.
When I saw his backstory,
that's the reason why he hates women. You know, like, all
his backstory, his front story, his total around story
was like much more worse.
Yes.
Like if he was like
if he was like
Ike Turner, you know, and he just beat the living crap out of some girl, or if he was like, not that I advocate such thing, or if he was like, you know, walked down the street and kicked children or something, it just made him the meanest bastard in the world.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. It would have been much more believable.
So you want Spider Jerusalem working at Torchwood?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, and you know, Yonta's backstory was priceless. It was perfect. And Tasha's backstory was great. I was unexpected. That was very, very unexpected.
The only bad thing about...
And then you get Owens, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's like the only bad thing about Tasha's backstory is it made her more interesting than they were writing her.
Well,
yeah.
I think
multi-dimensional.
You know,
also, you got hardcore Guantanamo Bay unit, which where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that?
Wait, that implies competence on the part of the unit. So.
That's the other unit. We don't speak of them.
That is something I would hope they would address more. Oh, sorry.
Can y'all like tell me what Yonto's backstory was? Because I haven't seen that one. I've seen one, season two, and I've seen Meat.
Well,
and so Meat, you've like turned into
Sure.
super spy.
Well, there's a guy named Kofi Annan, and every once in a while, he needs coffee and tea, and Yanto's the guy that gets it to him, and then that's it.
Well, basically, Yanto's character came from Doctor Who, as you know, right?
Yeah.
And
had a girlfriend in the basement.
And he had the girlfriend in the basement, right. Cyberwoman.
Like we all do.
And how he got there is that he found, because he worked originally for the original Torchwood.
Right.
Right. And then he knew, as a result, about this other Torchwood that John Barrow went to.
Right.
And he shows up one day wanting to work for them, and Captain Dunn says, no, you can't work for me. So he keeps showing up every day, and one day he shows up with like a cup of coffee and gives it to him, and then he drinks it.
Yeah,
it's really
and don't
moment.
Get random stuff.
Yeah. And then later on, he jumps out in front of Jack's car as he's driving, and he's like, hey, I've got something you want to come see? And we all expect something else, but
I have something
we finally
to show
find
you.
Out where the pterodactyl comes from, is that he found the pterodactyl.
So he paid his way into Torchwood.
Well,
it's essentially the Torchwood
hot
coffee mod.
But I give you this, right? If at the time when he's going to Captain Jack and trying to join Torchwood, he's got Lisa, Cyberbroad, stowed away somewhere. So it would be much more interesting to have him try to purposely get into Torchwood to save his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, his whole plan, like, okay, these are the only people that can help me. How do I go about getting into them and seeing them kind of meticulously, because obviously, which
well,
they probably completely
the
forgot.
The assumption of that is there, though, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right, let's...
Wait, girlfriend in a coma.
Now the thing is this is... This
it
is,
could be serious.
She's
thank you, it's not in my
But here's the big, broad problem of Torchwood, okay? It's like, is each individual section its own entity? It's
yes.
like you can't shuffle people back and forth because it's like, we're down a man. We
one?
Need...
Because there is supposed to be Scottish Torchwood.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
still in effect, but you never
that's
hear
part
about
of the,
it.
That's
it seems
part
a lot like the Cardiff one has broken off from the others.
I know, but that...
So Cardiff is a rebel faction.
Well,
yeah,
London,
basically.
Cardiff, or Torchwood London
Bader
is
Bader showing up
track.
At some point.
Right,
the
yeah.
missing.
Chad Bader.
Oh, yeah, they're missing Chad Bader.
Yeah, the missing one. Yeah.
Chad Bader, Scotland.
Babylon 4.
But we'll never know on how this
basically,
place runs.
Basically, at some point in the story, there was a Torchwood London, and then there was a Torchwood Scotland, which they have mentioned, that in that mentioning of it, that there is a connection between Torchwood London and Torchwood Scotland, and that Torchwood Cardiff is
it's
a breakoff and an independent organization away, you know, separated from it, and has at some point done so. But
it's
originally,
Ralph
was, but originally was a part of the whole at some point.
Yeah,
first.
Well, the other thing too is that, you know, we've seen all these characters and they developed a lot in the first season, so there wasn't a whole lot of room to really develop beyond the second season, except for maybe Tosh and Yanto.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
are the two that probably had the most room to grow, and they didn't really draw them out or do a whole lot more. And I mean, I did like the way that they did do some things right. When they brought in Captain John Hart, that was great.
Yeah.
Although at the end, they kind of made him the kinder, gentler Captain John Hart.
Yeah.
And I kind of like...
Get him a cardigan. Get him Owen's cardigan.
Yeah.
I kind of like him not knowing.
He might enjoy that.
Be, you know? I liked him sort of in the middle. He didn't know if he was completely with him or not. You know?
Well, you like the shades of gray characters.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the part about Jack when we first saw him on Who that everybody thought was really good, because you didn't know exactly which side he operated on.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yes.
Do you like the character because of the actor, or do you like the character? I thought the character was crap.
Which character?
Captain John. Were you influenced because of the actor?
Well, I've not really been a fan
actually,
of Buffy, so,
for me.
Yeah.
I think it was a little bit of both, because attitude goes a long way when it's on screen.
Yeah.
If you look at it, like, on paper, on the script, it didn't really look that great, but again, it's sort of an attitude thing.
Yeah. And he had the badass... Adamant jacket, so he's Now, we are two people short now at Torchwood, so we know that one of them is probably going to be, there's probably going to be Noel Clark, but we don't know about Freema now.
Well, he's doing a movie.
Yeah, but he's
going
to
be on it.
Yeah.
She's doing Law and Order.
Yeah.
She's doing every other show on British television right now.
Well, she was supposed to be on Torchwood, and apparently she took the Law and Order. Chibnall and a bunch of the writers and producers and people involved with Torchwood.
God help Law and Order.
Went to go work for Law and Order.
Don't.
Which was the star going to have Jamie Bamber from Galactica in it.
Yeah.
They all went to go, and it's kind of like the rival show for Torchwood now. And she took a part on it, a semi-regular part on it, and she was also, at the same time, she is pretty much going to be a regular on Torchwood. So depending on which side of the rumor page you read, she either fired or quit or found something else. So,
well, she's doing the Termination show too.
Yeah,
she's
that's actually already filmed.
Survivors. Oh, okay.
I think most of that's done.
And then the what is it? The Dickens.
Yeah.
This year's Dickens series.
Yes.
Last year when they were giving out about Martha doing a stint on Torchwood this past year, they mentioned that Owen's absence was because he was
seat up here. Sorry, no, I'm just helping somebody find a seat.
They gave out that Owen's absence had something to do with him doing work for Diane in the previous season. Were they just lying, or did they change their minds?
That sort of feels like a cop-out, because I think at the beginning of the season, and if you watch it from... Well, okay, let's back up. There are a couple of episodes of the season that kind of... the series that kind of feel out of sequence. Adam in particular. It sort of feels like a cop-out that they dropped Diane out there as a rumor.
And that's Buffy doing Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Buffy doing Torchwood.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what
dropped dead Fred.
Yeah. So, Sarah Jane, are we done talking about Torchwood? Or?
Yeah.
It may be referenced later when we get back to Who. But, Sarah Jane.
Yay!
Yeah, classic, it's Who light. It's classic Who. It's the classic Who taste you love. Only not.
But
without Russell.
Except I keep waiting for the Mr. Smith computer to start doing the little things that move around like on Press Your Lock.
You know what would have been so much cooler if the Mr. Smith had done the Apple noise. Instead of the phone call. Dong!
I don't know. The first couple times you see the brick wall opening up and the screen, you're like, ooh. And the fifth time, you're like, come on.
I think that's
open already.
Just leave it open.
I think that's why they stuck the in-joke in and
still
on. Do you have to do the in-joke? What is that?
What's this?
There was...
The last... Yeah.
On Stolen Earth, when they when she calls for Mr. Smith, that goes for the fanfare, and she goes, "Do you really have to do the fanfare?"
Is all that fanfare really necessary?
It's not that cracked.
It's just hysterical. And what they did with him was great. And then his whole Mr. Smith's backstory was really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they got around somehow the canine legality with canine and was able to really use him. Really cool.
Can you tell us about the canine legality that I don't know about?
Ah, the canine legality. Well, canine, the diva that canine is, has his own show.
Yeah, canine and company.
Apparently, they are developing a TV show with canine by himself. And
wandering the mean streets.
I don't know how to explain it, because
yeah.
Saving us from a black hole.
So anyway, it's pretty much the same situation as I'd say the Daleks, because they have to work it out with the creator for him to be in things. So that's what it was, and he was doing a different TV show. So
yeah. Now I've given this careful thought.
Yes.
And I've realized that
the amount of thought that you have.
Yes. Even though
deep thoughts
with Sarah Jane and with Torchwood. There is the possibility of the rift in Torchwood and just the sheer amount of weirdness that goes on in Sarah Jane. It is physically possible to arguably and capably work all of the Sid and Marty Krofft characters into both universes.
Yeah!
Like, Sigmund is the perfect, perfect alien
for
Sarah Jane.
That is the Aliens of Torchwood panel.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Like, for example, Sigmund comes through the rift in Torchwood, right? And then you see the other sea monster going, Sigmund, if you don't scare some humans, you're in big trouble. So the rest of Torchwood takes Sigmund out to go scare people so he can go back through the rift and thus save the universe.
And Owen has the magic flute.
And the actually Yanto probably has the magic flute.
Ooh.
You know, and Puff and Stuff, and we can have those scenes with Captain Jack hitting on Puff and Stuff.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
And instead of the angels, the fish in the car, you'd have like that owl guy in the car.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's the banana stuff.
No.
So seriously,
they should form a band.
And think about Lost Saucer. Think about Sarah Jane could have to help Jim Neighbors.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Get back home. It would be great. And like
Mr. Smith
could plug into the Lost. I can't believe this.
Plug into Ruth Buzzy. Yes, I want to see that.
There's fan fiction.
Captain Jack teams up with Electro Woman and Dinah Girl.
Well, we actually haven't had
Barrowman hitting on Deidre Hall. Think about that one.
Well, actually, no, we haven't actually had, you know, Gwen have her lesbian thing yet. So, there we go.
That is the crossword with Victoria Torchwood.
She kissed a girl.
Yeah, well,
doesn't she kissed a girl and she liked it.
Or you could have Reese with Electro Woman and Dinah.
Ooh.
Reese could be sitting there on the couch with Mickey from Doctor Who, and they'd be like, I think of Electro Woman. I do Electro Woman, but I'd be thinking of Dinah Girl. Okay, so.
Moment of space.
I think we need to talk about Sarah Jane for a little bit.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Insofar as the fact that it is a kids show, and that because you made a wonderful comment earlier, Scott did, about how it doesn't insult the children.
No.
Of course, I'm terrible with episode names, but the one where Maria finds out that times change, there's other women's living Sarah Jane's life.
Yeah.
And then there's that whole thing about this woman has to decide to die to save the universe. You don't get that from, you know, what's on Disney.
Yeah.
Wait, that was a very special part.
And it's the best paced of all the shows, I think, too.
Yeah.
And you have the mini Sabine. That's
awesome.
The little mini Sabine.
And then came back and then even.
So cute.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Well, first Sabine.
Well, and then and Luke's character, I think, is really fascinating. And when it first showed up, I was like, what?
Yeah. Plot wise.
You know, and then, you know, making her a mother when she's obviously not a mother to time. It's been really interesting in her whole relationship between the two of them.
And how she deals
really
with
well.
It, yeah.
And the relaunch on that was very, 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 very well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the stories were even. And next year on Sarah Jane, we get
The Brig.
We get the Brigadier.
Yeah.
We get the Brig. We get the Brig. And do we get Centaurs?
I don't know. Yeah. It's
the Brigadier. It was the trailer. They showed a trailer, so it's the Brig and Centaurs.
Yeah, it's got Centaurs.
You know, I'd almost at this point rather see a human show.
Yeah.
And we bring back Samantha Bond as
Unit and the Pussycats.
No way.
Oh yeah. And I think she wants her kid back.
Yeah.
We're gonna see some intergalactic child custody battles here.
Intergalactic planetary.
No, that is not your mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on. We have a question. Hey, the very, very nice lady has a question.
Have you heard if Maria is, in fact, coming back? I know there was a contract dispute with her. Or do you know if she's going to be leaving within the first episode?
Well, I think the BBC is trying to figure out what to do with a child like Maria.
Actually, the last I've read is she's going to be in the first episode, but they're going to move, and they're bringing in, well, they say Asian, but actually Indian family to sort of replace it. To make it, you know, all that wonderful diversity.
It's the replaceable children.
There's the rumor that's around that her father and mother are going to get back together again.
Mother needs to be shot in the face.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
It was alluded to, and so they... There's a rumor about it. I think it's a little silly myself, but I can see how if they want to write Maria out of the show, that's an easy way to jump out of the
corner. But they'd have to rewrite the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's single.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any validity to this rumor, but about 6 months ago, I heard Kate Tennant's going to make an appearance there, Jay, next year.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe. I mean, it just kind of depends on how they work out Hamlet.
Right, exactly.
I gotta work out his schedule.
The only thing I would say is I would make sure that they're both following different parts of the same weirdness.
Yeah.
That it's like they sort of bump into each other. It's like, oh.
Kind of like Madonna and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they don't know. They don't know. They deliberately don't know what the other's doing. So when they meet up, it's like...
That was a great...
Because that could happen. I mean, that could actually happen. It's like something... They sort of interact with you, you know.
I could see something like that translating really well over to San Diego.
Although it could
have like the awkward meeting your former lover out of the blue. It's like, and then then the laser start going. It's like, oh, we gotta
decide for a minute. The thing that makes me sad though about Sarah Jane is that it would be perfect right now to have Harry Sullivan. In some way, shape, or form. Like as the wacky neighbor, or just, you know, something. It's really sad that we can't do that. But.
For Gardner.
All right.
All right.
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I have a thing.
Wait.
You have
hold
a
on.
Thing?
No, hold on. No, I have a question for the audience.
Oh, God. Stand away. He's got a thing.
Shut up. No. Raise your hands if you hated Donna Noble.
Before or after?
Oh, okay, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. From last year.
Right after Pompeii.
After the Christmas special.
After the Christmas special.
Okay. I think you're strike number one.
Strike number one.
One, I think she's the... probably the best and only well-written complete character that Russell Davis
has written. Yeah, hands down. Yeah. And here's the thing. I said this during the Christmas special. I knew she would make a great companion. And I know some of you
raised
their hands and said, no, that's not possible.
Oh, I was completely wrong about that. I said that, I think, in last year's panel where I said, oh, God, she's going to suck.
Nuh-uh.
But she didn't, and that was great. Yeah. One of the nice surprises
except
of the
they
series.
Pushed her out at the end.
Yeah, that was.
Cried at that.
Yeah. Yes.
That was the ending for Superman 2, by the way.
Yeah. I didn't raise my hand to say I hated her. I hated her, but she's still a good character.
Yeah.
So, that's not a kind of an unfair question to say because you hate her.
Well, there is this debate out there.
It's like people either really love her or really hate her. There's no real in between.
I really thought her sketch show was bad. So that's kind of where my opinion came from.
I just think the great thing about Donna is that you got the romance out.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
It freed that whole show up for a whole season, you know.
And she didn't really take a lot of the Doctor's crap.
She didn't take his crap, and it reminded...
The look on her face when she does it is great. And then later on in the season when the Doctor mimics her doing that is just... Hilarious.
Yeah.
And I tend, just me personally, I tend to go toward the companions that sort of give the Doctor a headache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not in the Perry way, but actually get up to his face and challenge him.
Yeah, that was the thing I really liked about it. They gave her some interest. She got some things, like the whole thing about the Atmos Corporation. You know, she figured out there are no sick days, there's no time taken off. I mean... Picking up on those things outside of the Doctor was a real nice thing.
And then kind of barreled back to previous paintings that we've had in the past that could add more information to the
story. And that's what, that's what made the second to last episode, where it's just her, more interesting.
In the back?
In the back, and then we'll get up.
Well, I just thought it was so interesting. Basically, you know, most companions, they come across the doctrine, zip into the TARDIS without really thinking about what's going to happen or being prepared. And this Donna driving around a trunk full of suitcases looking for the doctor. I think she's the first companion who ever actually was on the lookout for him. She knew he'd be back. She was keeping an eye out, and she was prepared. And it was so funny.
Stop it. Stop it.
Walk in the TARDIS loaded down with suitcases.
Yeah, and that was absolutely brilliant.
And you know what else was the wonderful thing about Donna? Because we had gotten 3 years of companions going, gosh, Doctor, you're just so clever.
And dreamy. You're so
and dreamy.
You're
so dreamy. And
great hair.
Right in the first episode, particularly of this series, I think, where Donna says you're just big, skinny nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Awesome. Oh, she will give him his props. When she took out the alien with the...
Water gun.
Says, I fucking love you. That's the genius, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's why, if I can go really old school for a minute here, the reason I like Donna Noble is because I felt she took the best qualities of Barbara Wright.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Barbara Wright, and I'm going to get booed on this one, that's okay. And Tegan Jemima.
I love Tegan.
She was up in the doctor's face. Thank you. I love Tegan. She was up in his face. She was telling him like it was. And she basically performed the same function that Barbara and Tegan did. She was the doctor's humanity. She was his connection. She was his social conscious.
She also wasn't squishy.
Yeah. I appreciate that a lot about her later on in this season. However, I hated Pompeii, and I get booed all the time for it. But I absolutely hated it. Because how many times does she need to be his moral hook? How many times that episode? You know, no doctor. It's like, come on. He's the doctor. You know, and that kind of little dynamic in it just kind of drove me batty. Especially at the end, when it's like, yes, we saw it coming, you're going to save them, woohoo, you know? And I guess that's why I was so frustrated with her in that episode.
I think the whole point of Pompeii was basically he's the doctor and she really doesn't care.
Yeah, that's true.
It was nice to see someone finally ask why he changes some things.
So you in the back, and then you.
Go for it.
I was going to say, we're talking about Donna. I think you got to talk about turn left.
Yeah.
I thought Pompeii just showed that the doctor's running completely, pulling stuff out of his ass all the time.
Yeah. All right, now I offer you this for discussion.
Oh.
Ladies and gents. 3 years in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't want to hit what they call the perfect drop off.
Yeah.
Have we seen the time where it's probably for the best of the show that David Tennant leaves and someone else comes in?
Yes. That really?
Yes. Wait.
Hang on.
Who thinks it's time for him to go?
I mean, he hit his stride this year. He really did. He came into his own character.
I would answer that question after we get a little bit of Moffat actually writing.
Exactly. The Steve from Cyberman story is going to be great.
I think if you put it in Moffat's hands, I think we might get really good stuff out of him. And I think 1 year with Tennant and Moffat, I think we might hit it, and I think we might be happy with it.
Because when he's so good this year that you have to wonder, what's he going to do now? Is it going to drop off, or... You know, like, Midnight was great.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, like you said, I think Moffat will bring out different things.
Yeah.
Wait, you like Midnight? I didn't like it.
I like parts of it. I like the idea.
No, it was it was Lifeboat.
I thought it was the best Russell T. Davies episode, not written by Russell T. Davies.
We can all go through favorite episodes. I liked Turn Left a lot.
Yes.
I did like... Yes. I was okay on Pompeii. I didn't like the opening story very much. Turn left. I liked the Agatha Christie story.
Yes.
But I liked it for all the technical reasons, like the old wipes. Which I thought was great. And then, again, the first part of Silence in the Library, that two-parter was great. And then the second part was kind of okay.
Speaking of
Scooby-Doo, and I
even Moffat turned the astronaut ghost into something actually scary.
I didn't. I Doctor's daughter, I thought, punked out at the end. When they brought her back to life.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen there.
Yeah, well, she'll be back.
Well, what's going to happen is she's going to arrive in London in 2013 to a really, really crappy show that's worse than Torchwood. By the way, if you haven't seen Code 9, I'm just going to tell you now. Code 9 sucks ass.
Is she in that?
Oh, she's in that. She's in Code 9.
Which is like a series?
Which is like the spinoff for Spooks.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
And I'm trying to think what else. I didn't like the Santarin story all too much, mainly because, I mean, I love the Santarins.
Yeah.
And I thought that it sucked that they killed off the most interesting human character they've made in a while.
Yeah.
I thought killing him was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, that kid was really friggin' annoying.
And,
you know, I know Russell Davies
in a good way.
Was that supposed to be Steve Jobs or...
No, it's supposed to be somebody who's in fandom.
It's like a younger version of
No, here's the story. Somebody who was in fandom met somebody who wrote on the show, and they found him to be so annoying that they created that character. I'm not going to mention any names.
Because, see, I thought it was like Anthony Michael Hall as Steve Jobs as...
Yeah. As far as, like, favorite episodes, I think Jonathan Hickman's episode was I really liked it. I thought that it was interesting. I thought it did something more with the Ood. And I love the scene where Donna is standing in front of the cage and she can hear the song and she can't handle it.
Yeah, take it away.
And that real like reality of that this is what the doctor deals with, you know? This is the heaviness of literally of it all. And her reaction is just amazing. Her acting in that moment in that scene is just incredible, and I really love that. I like the Atmos episode. I would have liked the Adipose episode if it wasn't for the mere fact that it was a lot of product placement and creating something they could sell. But outside of that, it's awesome. Man, I made a T-shirt for it and a logo and everything. I'll put the logo up on our website. It's really cute, but. I really did enjoy the episode.
I really will have to say the one thing I liked about that first episode was the fact when the adipose get run over by the car.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah. And they made the point of making sure the squish could be heard as the cars were running over them. That was great. I love that part.
I mean, I know they're Ewoks or Doctor Who. I don't care.
I did like the silent bit though of the doctor and Donna. I thought that was good.
Yeah. And then her reaction, are you two finished?
Awesome.
The sad thing though about this season though, and I think I touched upon this at Timegate a little bit, the saddest thing about this season of Doctor Who was that the 9-minute Christmas special was better than most of the story.
Yeah.
The part where Peter Davison tilts his hat and says, all my love to long
ago. Yeah.
Just if that doesn't make you sad, I don't know what does.
Yeah. And that speech about how you were my doctor, I'm like,
oh yeah. Because it's so true. I mean, you see him in interviews beforehand talking about him.
It's so nice because for most people, he's...
And that was both Moffat and Davidson.
He was my doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree. It's just for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't like Peter Davidson. And stuff that such love is like...
How could you
not
like...
Because it came after Baker.
It's the one time where the material crosses over because that...
This is the Baker fans who are saying that.
I like Tom Baker, but my favorite actually is McCoy.
Oh, I like McCoy. Yeah. I adore McCoy. When he does a little hop on his one leg around a corner, it kills me every time. I crack up every time. I love him.
What was the question?
What was our question?
Favorite episode.
Of
the new series.
I like the original, the first thing because the X-Force thing is just so cute.
You want to squish him and you wish that you could like get rid of your own fat.
It's not that you really want them, you just want to run over them with your car.
Yes.
They're like copy paper.
When he waves and jumps out the window, so cute.
Basically, if you take anything else from this panel, little squishy adiposes you can run over with your car, and little bits of vaporized Owen. You can just take those in a bag.
Yeah.
Well, Tuffley, when you saw the adiposes, weren't you like waiting for Venkman to come with the rest of the
I was. I was waiting for that Oingo Boingo song right in the middle for a montage.
It definitely needed an Oingo Boingo montage.
Harder. It just, I mean, he made a shadow, just an ordinary shadow.
He's scary.
And the whole concept of the library and the girl and the whole, and it's not, it wasn't just the typical, this is corporate greed, this is ours because it's
yeah.
ours.
Yeah.
It was because this whole little girl is like, wow.
I gotta ask, just because I just want to know, and pull it
and of course,
on this question.
What's her name? Was amazing.
Yeah. Who would have read the blue book? Who would have read it?
Shit, yeah.
I would have read it.
Hell yeah.
I would have read it. I would have been like, screw you.
Well, we don't have that time for training to, you know,
yeah.
I know, but I would totally.
Oh, yeah, we would.
But, you know,
except that the blue book was written by Paul Cornell. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's going to come up later.
The Sonic pen.
The Sonic pen be thrown away.
What was that?
It was all stuff that the BBC couldn't remake and sell as a product. You know,
oh, they already have it.
They already have it. There's already an adipose plushie out.
Mm-hmm.
There's
where?
Where?
I've seen them online.
Like actually from BBC, or those like little stitch ones?
No,
they're
it's an actual BBC product.
Yeah, where?
Yeah, where? Somebody knows.
The knit ones will be made available. A fan knitter had made them. There was a dispute from eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've offered her the chance to license.
When you're sitting at your desk, there's nothing better than squeezing an adipose. And it makes a squishy noise.
Those are out. The pin is already out.
Right.
That's already out. The book will be out soon. I mean, I know it will. The journals for, you know, coverage for journals and stuff like that. That'll be out soon. What else is they make?
Are they going to make the new improved Sock Screwdriver?
With the extra, like, lightsaber
attack? The future Sock Screwdriver?
Probably.
I saw on the sci-fi website they made some of the great TARDIS.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on YouTube. They make like another TARDIS thing that's supposed to be really nice.
Although, has anybody seen the video game cabinet that somebody
yes,
made.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Meg did the really good thing with us.
Was it better than the desk you built?
Nothing is better than the desk.
That's the best desk I've ever
played. We need to ask him about that, don't we?
Yeah, we need to ask him about
it. It was built
with
love.
And
I actually was approached by somebody this year who was like, you don't have a TARDIS. So I was like, would you like to build me one? He was like, sure, why not?
I know somebody who has a TARDIS in Orlando.
So we might actually have. I know the guy who lives here in Atlanta who he's unfortunately not in the best of health, but he has the TARDIS that is in all the photo shoots mm-hmm. that they do in Atlanta, and he built it back in like the mid 80s, and so it's been in a lot of photo shoots since then.
Used up.
Yeah.
So it's the TARDIS that killed Trump.
Oh.
Ooh.
What?
No. I don't think it was that one.
Oh, that's the next Moffat episode.
I'm not sure.
It's time to fear the TARDIS.
But that it's not in the best of condition, so we're probably not going to get it, but, you know, I want a TARDIS. That'd be awesome.
You know,
but
there's a reason that the British Who cast is calling him the Master of Nightmares.
Yeah. Now, do you guys know what they're doing for next year for Who?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do the specials and their themes.
The specials, there's five of them.
One of them will have the Cybermen.
We're going to have one at Christmas, one at Easter.
That's the Christmas one.
Boxing Day.
Rob, I've been meaning to ask you this.
What's the other two?
I've been meaning to ask you this question. Is it true Blessed's going to show up in one of these?
You know, I don't know. I've heard that too.
What was that?
The rumor
Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed. You know,
Brian
I'm having that microphone.
Would be awesome.
That would be wicked awesome.
There is a rumor going around. There is a rumor going around that he's supposed to be in one of the specials. So,
is he going to reprise his role as
who knows who Brian Blessed is?
Are you serious?
Okay, who has seen Flash Gordon the movie?
Flash Gordon.
Okay, Gordon. That's Brian Blessed. Oh!
How many people have seen Mind Ward?
He's Augustus.
The Sylvester McCoy story.
Yeah.
He's the king in Mind Ward.
Yeah.
What else is he doing?
I Claudius.
First season of Black Adder.
Yes.
And he is almost the third Doctor Who.
Prince of Thieves. He went Robin's father.
Robin's father.
Yeah.
Oh.
The very infamous episode of Have I Got News for You.
If you go to meetcoffee.com, we have plenty of videos of Brian Blessed doing various interview and
shows. We almost got him this year.
I've got news for you.
Breathtaking.
Yeah. We're hoping that we could get him to come one day.
He's
hysterical.
You
have
had the room, though.
Yeah,
we didn't use a microphone in that ballroom like the size we did for the torchwood this morning.
Yeah.
We didn't use a microphone and you can still hear him.
Yeah. He's got the biggest, amazing projection. There's no point in miking him. It's pointless.
And he just loves the ladies.
He loves the ladies.
I know that we don't want to waste too much time on this, but we want to mention it. But season finale two-parter.
Ooh.
I am completely lost as to what the fuck Rose Tyler did coming back to the other. I still don't really get it.
All right, here's my problem. Is A, I think they should have gotten rid of Midnight and made it a three-parter.
I could see that.
Yeah. Only because, you know, If you're gonna do an ensemble, you know,
you need
with
to give
three
time.
Exactly, and honestly, I think Midnight was like a throwaway.
It would have been a great audiobook, I think. Midnight would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You in the back?
I was thinking some of the best episodes of Doctor Who were with Ramona. It would have been great if Donna Noble could have been smart for one episode before she became brain fried.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Yes. It was the Flowers of Algernon episode.
Michael McGann was thinking about being on the show at some point.
Well, the one question about the finale you have to ask yourself is, okay, if she's trying to get all the companions that are on Earth at the moment, where the hell were the Brig and Tegan and...
Ace.
Yeah.
Ace.
Ace. And Ian. Harry.
Joe Grant.
Liz Shaw.
You know.
Yeah.
Liz Shaw should still be in the unit. That would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
Maybe this will show up.
At least they tried to get
the Yeah.
They were all in Peru.
they were all in Peru looking for coffee.
I have to admit, the scenes where Sarah Jane hears the Dalek voice and hears Davros.
That was good.
That was the best part.
I could really feel like she's been punched in the gut.
Yeah.
Well, I think the main reason that they wanted, you know, that they decided to stick everybody they could possibly fit in this cast was, how do I want to put it? Fan wank.
Yeah.
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 Fan
service.
This is fan service. Thank you. That's the term I want, not wank service. Well,
finishing off.
What's wrong with wanking?
I didn't say there was anything
finishing
wrong with
off.
That. I'm just saying that a lot of it seemed like, hey, let's do this because the fans will really like it. And
that
we did.
Russell wanted to tie up all of the I have to say, though, I mean, the first part of the two-parter I really liked.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved one of my, it's my second favorite, not counting the Christmas special moment, but the Christmas.
That cliffhanger was great.
No,
yeah.
But the bit where in the school reunion, where he backs into the talk, Sarah Jane's back, sees the TARDIS back, says, hello, Sarah Jane, that's my favorite Tennant moment. But my other favorite Tennant Doctor moment was this season when they're in Torchwood and they hear the Dalek voice and Captain Jack says, I can't do anything.
I can't save you.
And I was like, they actually managed, outside of Torchwood, to give humanity to Captain Jack. And they haven't been able to give Captain Jack in a whole season of Torchwood, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I thought that was cool, and I wish we'd see more of that.
The thing that really bugged me about the season finale was what they did to Donna.
Yes.
The whole point of the companions is they are improved in some way by being with Donna.
She's not.
Well, apparently, except for Rose's dental work.
All the way.
Scott was talking.
It was Dwayne Diddley, Rose.
Scott was talking.
No. Oh, you mean the lisp? Yeah, that's something else. But the funny thing was how they took away all that from Donna and just put it. That is so counter to everything.
Counter to
the fairness of life.
You and then you.
No.
You.
No.
Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
You, then you, then you.
I think it's really odd that I'll read it online, but I haven't heard anybody say it here that they think about, they think Donna's Time Lord.
What
like
we
nobody's
I haven't heard anybody talk about the fact
that she was a temporary halftime ward thing.
Well, no, but she just like a.
You know
like
what
she
though?
She done the memory wipe thing that he did in the
If her brain would have been able to take it.
Then like she's gone to be safe.
Oh, that's Superman too.
I mean, I read it a lot.
But there wasn't a single gizmo.
But there's so much. Well, but like her first, like the first episode where she like doesn't remember any of the Christmas things happening in London and about like.
That's just because she was drunk.
I think she's oblivious, and that's her initial character.
The sad thing about Donna, though, I mean, that just totally just pissed me off. But the fact, too, that her grandfather was also this great character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bernard Cribbins, y'all.
Yes.
I would say, like, I really came to love the character Donna, but I felt like, I thought her ending was actually really good because I felt something. Dumbass happy ending.
They keep building up.
Something happened there that made me feel something, and I cared.
But they build up. Ever since Rose Tyler, they build up that somebody's going to die. And nobody fucking dies.
Yeah.
Not the doctor's daughter.
She symbolically dies.
And then
Rose's original teeth.
And then.
Oh, and that's another thing. They take away the most beautiful, tragic thing with the end with Rose Tyler and that alternate mention. I was like, oh yeah, here's a.
Oh, by the way.
Wait, have you seen?
Here's a backup.
Here's a blow-up doctor for you.
Wait, have you seen Diary of the Cold Girl?
You'll like him. He's a good pet.
Was the inflatable not ready yet?
Don't feed him after midnight. Whatever you do.
That was Fan Wink, by the way.
Don't feed him after midnight.
Alright,
so back
over here.
Just ask, did Donna though choose, did she know that she was going to lose?
She asked him to let her die.
No, actually,
no,
she didn't.
She realized it while he was doing it.
That was
the thing that sucked about it, you know, that a lot of us thought sucked about it, was that, you know, because she would rather die, and he wouldn't give her the choice. I mean, she says, well, let me die, and he says no, and...
Because she even says it. Because she even says it. She's a different person. She's aware.
It would be better.
I thought it was an absolutely horrific end for Donna, but I think it was oddly fitting for her character because you knew that something big had to happen to her because she's not going to just walk off and be like, oh, I'm done adventuring. I'm going to go home now. That just wouldn't have worked.
She could have found the stuttering guy again. She could have done a million other things that they could have done.
They could have let her
up. She could have got a job at Unit. I mean, they gave one to...
She could have been the office manager.
What's her name?
Manager of Torchwood.
Wait,
yeah.
So bad. Wait, you remember Janine from Ghostbusters?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should have been Donna.
Okay, we have this.
This one here,
then
there's
one. I was just going to say, as far as the doctor not respecting her saying no, when someone's in a trauma situation, you don't necessarily respect. You know, people who are in trauma situations often yell no. They're screaming against the situation, not necessarily actually not wanting help. And I don't think the doctor could just stand back and let her die.
I think it's also
this ending left it open for her to come back.
I think though that is a characteristic that the selfishness. I think the selfishness is a characterization of Ted though.
Yeah. Because he wanted to keep Donna alive because he didn't want anybody else to die.
Yes.
And that's the only reason why he kept her. He didn't want her to die, even though she didn't want to go back to the way she was.
Yeah.
It was selfishness on the doctor's
side. I think, but, and it is very characteristic of this doctor.
That's true, but it just was like, she should have been like, no, I'm doing this, you can't stop. You know, she should have been done. It's like, no, I'm not going to live like this. No.
So her back.
That's what I was just actually expecting. I was expecting for her to shove him off of her, and she didn't.
She knew what was happening to her.
She
knew what was happening immediately because she's half. She has a brain, so like she knew exactly what was going on.
And she said no, but
that was like not reasonable.
They could have taken her to the library.
That's what the doctor needs.
Okay, we have
to. Ted needs a Romana.
That's what she's going to know that a lot of people.
I've heard several people suggesting ways to fix it. Next season or the season after, ways for her to come back. But how do you think that
her grandfather triggers the cell?
They decided that they were going to go back and fix it and we're having to go back. Don't you think that that would almost make it worse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Moffat probably won't do that.
Moffat probably won't go near. I think he's in fact said he won't go near.
I would wait to see what it was. If it's a good story, if it's a really good story of a way of bringing back.
Very complicated.
Her mom triggers it.
And all this something silly and ridiculous that everyone will hate. Like, she regenerates, you know.
I think
it'll be something like that. I honestly think that's the only way they could explain it.
I think the important thing.
People have suggested that throwaway comment, that it wasn't a throwaway comment, that she suggested how he could fix the chameleon arc and things like that. And so that those weren't throwaway lines, that those were foreshadowing.
I think that the important thing to remember, particularly about Donna, is that she is unflappingly normal. Probably the most one of the most normal companions that have been on the show, and I think that's the important thing with that character. So if you have her go too far into I know stuff, you completely lose the flavor of the character. So yeah. I think it's a catch-22. I don't like the ending either, but then again, Super Time Lord Donna really doesn't appeal to me.
It would almost take
so
they need to bring in someone at the same level as the Doctor for the next companion.
Yeah. You know what? I think the way to solve it, and we've been talking about this for a long time, there needs to be a male companion.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way you get rid of
male companion.
You
could still be squishy.
I think that one thing that I did like about Donna, because after Rose and Martha, it's like, okay, everybody has a crush on the Doctor. Thank you, we get it. And Donna didn't. Because, you know, when that was one of my favorite bits in the first episode where he's like, you know, I just need a mate. Well, you're not mating with me, sunshine. I mean, you know, so they had this totally platonic relationship, and I think that was okay.
But everyone thought they were a couple, which is
funny. Yeah,
I love that.
Although that's more of a throwback to the first season where they kept asking the Doctor and Rose if they were a couple.
Yeah. Okay, right here.
Back.
I was saying, if you have a series with two lead characters, I like it when one of them's female. So I'm all for a male companion as long as the Doctor is female.
I know the trend they started was they wanted to try to keep it down to one companion because, you know, especially Peter Davison era, it got really crowded in the TARDIS. So they wanted to try to keep it down to one companion.
Why not?
Oh, well,
remember
Animal House? But see, the problem is when you have, you know, the Doctor, and then at one point Peter had three companions, that's a lot of lines you got to write. And you got to give all of them something to do, because otherwise it's like, okay, well, why isn't this even here? She's just kind of hanging around. Or Adric.
Yes.
Yeah, dead, you know.
Yeah, but I think the issue, though, with the three companions, particularly with Davidson's run, is that they're all relatively close in age to the Doctor. And it sort of makes the Doctor look like your favorite uncle. Which doesn't really work. It doesn't really give you a sense of, okay, he knows more than everyone else does. So it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And plus, you've got to give... Really, Nyssa got shortchanged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adric was kind of an annoying pipsqueak, and we all know that.
And he's dead.
And he's dead, which...
Is that the one who wrote the asteroid down?
Yeah, that's the one who wrote the asteroid down. Unfortunately, he did not make a squish noise, which I wish... In retrospect, the restoration team should have done something with that.
Boom!
Yeah. We're all here. I like an Earth Shock team. Yeah, they have Earth Shock.
Okay, we only have 3 minutes left, and we have prizes to give away.
Well, let's do the two questions, though, because they've been patient.
Yeah, okay.
We love questions.
Thank you. As a follow-up to that, do you think we are ready for a... Now that we've gone several years into the new series, we're ready for a companion that's not necessarily the voice of modern Earth, but the...
I think we're going to leave the planet.
I would love to have an alien companion or a historical companion. That would be great.
I think so, yeah.
Just
one. So you're saying Cthulhu should be the next companion?
Yeah!
Munchkin Cthulhu as his companion.
Yes, in the back.
I always thought Donna and Zach were more like brother and sister fighting type deal.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
I think it was a lot more playful, and I think we needed that after like 3 years of, like I said, gosh, Doctor, you're so dreamy and clever. You know, I think that was important, and I think it's playful, and I think it really worked for her, for Catherine Tate, because they kind of gave her the really good material to play with, and they were sort of playing against the type of the companions attracted to the Doctor, which I think has played itself out.
Yeah, over that.
Do you think we'll ever see an older, more mature-looking Doctor?
Moffat's already said no.
Ever? Really?
Well, he really wants to keep the young Doctor, like the whole hero.
No, I mean even just somebody more middle-aged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just because, and from what Moffat was saying, was the way they shoot this show, the way the schedule is now, there is no way. Tennant has a problem keeping up with this schedule. And so if they go older, they're just going to...
They're going to induce a heart attack.
They're going to induce the heart attack. Which actually is why in the earlier parts of the show you had three companions, because the guy was older and you needed like two other people to do all the action and get lost in crap. So
okay.
Let's give away some prizes.
Yes.
We only have one minute, so we need to...
Swag.
Okay. Here's the question, and it relates to Ed. Everybody obviously knows who H.G. Wells is. Raise your hand if you know what the H.G. stands for. Okay.
Who?
George.
There you go. And you get the DVD of Doctor Who Time Lash.
Featuring the fine acting of Paul Bearer.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, it's a free DVD.
Nicola Bryant. Oh no. Crap. The missiles have exploded. Yeah,
thinking the question. She has the worst line. Somebody else come up with a question.
I need a second.
Okay. In the story of Time Lash, we find out that a different doctor has visited the planet Tarful beforehand. Yes.
Oh. John Pertwee doctor.
Yes.
Shame to admit that. I've seen Time Lash.
Now you own it.
Yes, you'll be enjoying hours of Colin Baker Entertainment.
You can blame Need Coffee for that one, because these DVDs are courtesy of needcoffee.com.
You guys will never in a million years freaking guess what this is. That's right, it's Time Lash. Half the room will leave now. So, let's see. Let's think of a question. Oh, here's one. Name the episode of Doctor Who that Colin Baker appeared in before he was the Doctor.
Panelists do not count.
Yes. Yay! Here, now I'm proud owner of a coffee and time lag. Do we want to give one more thing
away? You want to give one more
thing away? One more.
We have one more.
All right.
Really awesome.
You got a question?
Yeah.
You got a question?
Yes, I do.
Rox has got a question.
Okay. This is old school, okay? Old school. In the episode The Demons.
Damons.
What is the name of the dancers?
The gorillas.
No.
Oh, sorry.
There's a hand.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, wait, I want you to show everybody what you brought to give away. It's really awesome.
This topic? Oh. Oh. Oh.
Oh, wait, if you take it out of the frame, you'll find a copy of Time Lash.
A
couple quick reminders, needcoffee.com, go to the website, go often. Also, we
Help
have a new panel tomorrow, right?
Yes.
And tonight is the film fest.
Aliens of Torchwood, 2:30.
And there's like free swag, so you should come.
Yeah.
You think this was impressive?
Wait till you see the amount of free swag that will be tossed out.
Bring protective headgear.
Gonzo sound and vision.
Especially
up next is Sherlock Holmes and other British literature.
Yo,
so please stick
around.
Yes, you do. Have a good day. Have fun. Be safe. Don't get conflict.
And don't get confunk either.
The piles of swag is from coffee.com. It's on the 10. Tonight in
10.
5 and 6.
Great.
6 and 7.
We're kicking out the awards ceremony. Actually, we did one last night.
Yeah, 5 is carded.
But Use Your Illusion Volume 2 is Monday.
I'm
Monday at 10 a.m. So, yeah.